Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and today is Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Today, we are reading from the Big Book, continuing on in Bill's story, page 16, the first paragraph, An Alcoholic in His Cup, ending with See Our Way of Life. Our readers today are Wendy M. in Colorado, who will read the text, Vanessa G. in New Mexico, who will read A Vision for You, and Chanel T. in Washington State is our backup. Our newcomer greeter today is Sherry M., and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, April 24th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,345. And for Thursday, April 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern, 21,347. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Patty F. will now read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Patty.
Hi, this is Patty F. from Massachusetts, a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. And I will now ask Alex K. to join us and please read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Susan. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. Loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trust servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we will resume our study of the Big Book on page 16, the first paragraph, An Alcoholic in His Cup, through to See Our Way of Life. And I will now ask Wendy M. to please begin reading and share with us on this paragraph. Thank you, Wendy.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, recovered and grateful. Thank you, Susan, for your service. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life. Well, there's a lot here. I love this paragraph. I love the word choice here, right? Like the way he puts it, an alcoholic and overeater in our cups, right? And for me, it's in my hands. Like that's how the beast in me eats. It eats with my hands. It eats fast. It eats in secret. I've got stains all over my shirt. I've ruined many shirts. I've got crumbs all over my mouth just in case I need more food later. You know, it's all I can say is the word creature, right? I'm a beast. I'm beyond human. I'm a beast. And I don't want you guys to know about it. I can look really good on a meeting. I can sound really good. But if you actually videotaped me in terms of how I eat, not now, but before, how I ate and how I treated other human beings, it would be appalling. You know, it's like we're in our cups, we're in our hands, you know, like it's Thanksgiving and I'm like, of course I'll do the dishes, close the door and decide to scrape, in, you know, all of the insides of the apple pie and call it an apple. But absolutely do it as fast as possible. I got to get it over with. That's part of being a creature. And unlovely, that's a beautiful word. It's not lovely the way I eat or the way I ate. And it's also not lovely the way I treated other human beings. That's so big for me. It's not just the food. It's so much how I treat another human being. I don't want you to see me yelling at the dog or yelling at the ex-boyfriend or yell, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want you to know how unlovely a creature I have been. The miracle today is that that's not me. The food is down. And thank you, God, I have relationships that are not unlovely and I'm not a beast. I'm a human being and that with God, of course. And then our struggles with them. Yeah, like I have many people come to me and say, I would like what you have. And then I show them the 12 requirements that I require that day. And they say, you know what, I don't know that I need all of that. Well, all I know is I'm an unlovely creature, so I need all those requirements. I need to be in action at all times. I always say act, don't think. Thinking is not helpful. Acting is helpful. And just, you know, not everybody, it's not for everybody, right? I told someone yesterday, this may not be for you. You may not be a compulsive overeater, but I'll tell you something. Most likely, you know, when someone's coming to you over and over again, they're on to themselves, right? They know they're an unlovely creature as well. And the opposite of that is, you know, a lovely human being, not only to themselves, but to others, as well as how...
That's fine, Wendy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, for starting us off this morning. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So in case you came in while Wendy was chatting about the paragraph and aren't sure where we're on page 16 in Bill's story, the paragraph, the first 4-1, an alcoholic in his cup, through to see our way of life. So if you would like to share, please give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country that you are calling from this morning. Okay, my pen is poised. I am ready to go. Who would like to share this morning? Now, I know I'm not here alone.
Laura W.
Laura, thank you.
Yvonne A.
Yvonne A. And there was someone else?
Janice K.
Janice, thank you. Janice, where are you calling from?
Oregon.
Thank you. Who else would like to join this first lineup? Going once,
Margo
going
B.
twice. Margo, thank you. And where are you calling from, Margo?
New York. Barbara S. from Maine.
Thank you, Barbara. Okay, let's stop there. So here's who we have, and we will have time for more. I have Laura W. in South Jersey, Yvonne A., who will tell us where she's from when she shares, Janice K. in Oregon, Margo B. in New York, and Barbara S. in Maine. So could everybody other than Laura W. in South Jersey please mute their lines? And Laura, good morning, and over to you.
Good morning. Thanks, Susan. Hi, everyone. I'm Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. And I just took the quietness as my prompt to share. I haven't shared in over a week, I think. And I'm grateful for my abstinence. I'm grateful for my recovery. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. The word unlovely, I mean, he could have used a word like horrific, disgusting, you know, manipulative, rude, all the things that I was and I am when I'm in my disease. He talks about working with them. You know, our struggles with them are strenuous, comic and tragic, because it is. I mean, I look at the past of things that I've done and now I can kind of laugh at it like, oh my gosh, I was crazy, literally crazy. But then the severity of it, the seriousness of it, is in the next sentence. One chap committed suicide in my home. His home was in Brooklyn Heights, New York, actually, at the time. And his home, you know, he let people in his home. He brought people in. He took them in as one of his own. He could not or would not see our way of life. It doesn't say he could not or would not get sober, or he would not or would not follow my directions. It says he could not see our way of life. And this is a way of living for me. This is not what I do on a daily basis. This is who I am and who I've become only through repetition. And that's the only form of permanence that nature can achieve, is doing this over and over and over. And yes, it is repetitive. And yes, it if I don't do it over and over, my disease and the progressiveness of my illness will kill me. So this reminds me that it's my job to help people. And it's strenuous. It's not easy and it's not convenient. But, you know, he brought this guy into his home, you know, and for me to make a phone call or take a phone call is nothing compared to that. So I'm grateful for the reminder that I cannot do this alone. I'm one among many. And I thank you all for being here. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura. That was Laura W. in South Jersey. And next, Yvonne A., if you could join us and please tell us where you are calling from this morning.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning. This is Yvonne A. I'm calling from BC, Canada. I wanted to jump in and share this morning because I, too, was inspired by those words. And inspired is a funny word to use, but it just took me back because even now, and I'm only a couple years into OA, I still kind of bristle at the thought that I was an unlovely creature. But the fact was, I had very great masks that I could put on when I was at work, when I was with my family. They had no idea the person that I was with food. I found myself disgusting with food. I would be trying to put so much in my mouth at times that it was just all falling out the sides. It was just crazy when I think back. I mean, we are insane, and this was insane behavior. And, you know, I've been abstinent for some time now, and the thought of going back to that just is incomprehensible to me. And so, yes, I had to. I didn't want to at first, this, you know, talking about we could not or would not or he would not or could not see our way of life. I didn't want to see this way of life. I didn't want to be abstinent. I thought that without my food, I couldn't survive. Like, what else would I have if I didn't have food? And so to have been introduced to this way of life, to have come to a place where I am willing to do the work it takes each and every day, because we each get up, or I certainly get up, an untreated addict every morning, it just has to be the priority in my life, or I will be that unlovely creature again. And yes, I can wear masks, I can cover it up for other people, but it still leaves me alone in the dark at the end of the day. And I know exactly what I am, and I can't live there anymore. It's just too hard and too painful. And so I choose every morning to get up. I wake up, I open my eyes, I thank my higher power for the day that's been put in front of me. And I look forward to everything the day has to bring, good and bad. And I find the joy in even things that are hard. And joy for me doesn't mean happiness. It just means that I am able to feel it and experience it because I am not in the food, because I have not numbed myself completely to everything that is going on around me. And so, yes, I am an unlovely creature when I am deep in my addiction, and it is so good to be reminded of that. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. in BC, Canada. Next, we will go to Oregon. Janice K., please unmute and join us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. I think I'm unmuted.
You are.
The whole thing. Okay, thank you. The whole thing is, yep, that's my life right there in the paragraph. I have been the unlovely creature, and the unlovely creature unfortunately persists. I love it into harmony most days, but the unlovely creature is just my unrecovered self. I used to be the first one done at the table and go back for more. Now, last one done. And what I notice is that smaller portions, smaller bites, hey, you know what? I chew and taste now. Amazing. But the unlovely creature persists. And there is, I don't think there is a life out there that does not, is not at times strenuous or tragic or comic. And it is a whole new way of life. It demands, it's a spiritual engine that demands an entirely different level of fuel to function. I too wake up in the morning and the first thing I check, silly to say it this way, but I check my heart. Hey, is it beating? Yep, got that covered, that's good. B, is it light or is it heavy? If my heart is sad, I start all over again and start with, hey, I am powerless over food. More and more frequently, I find that I wake up and my heart is light and I am good to at least cover the first 3 steps that way and launch into the remaining, for me, 10, 11, and 12. So what strikes me most, I suppose, is the unlovely creature and the way of life. Thank you for listening, I guess.
Thank you so much, Janice K. in Oregon. Next, good morning, Margot B. in New York. Margot,
thank you. Thank you. Margot here, compulsive overeater, great to claim my seat. Thank you so much for your service and everybody around the room. As a comment, so what's coming to my heart is like all the isms, all the food, just really keeping it green, going into bags and boxes, hitting every store, grabbing multiple forks so I can make sure the guy knew it wasn't just for me, or throwing stuff out after I swore it off and then picking it back out of the garbage. Oh my gosh. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Then I have all the defects that led me there. And what really came to my heart was the solution of a psychic change through God, right? I can be that person because any irritable discontent can rear its ugly head. But I have a solution today, and that solution is God, by working this program so I can get into conscious contact with Him so that I can do and make healthier choices for myself and for all the people that I'm in relationship with, you know, being accountable to but not responsible for. And even that on my plate, where's the boundary opposed to going into bags and boxes, you know? And just to really know that if I'm sick and suffering in a given moment, I have a solution. And because before I was sick and suffering, I didn't even know it. I never knew the food was unmanageable. I never knew there was an issue with the food. I just knew I wanted to lose weight. So I came to the vanity and stayed for the sanity. And I'm just very grateful for all that. And but I have to keep working it, right? It says in the big book, we don't rest on our laurels. And I just don't. What now, if I go back into that unloveliness, I know I have my God who can help me get back to who He created me to be. Because that's what this work is all about, recovery of self, of who He created me to be, to do what He wants me to do. And I have to surrender that sometimes second by second. Actually, usually second by second. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Margot B. in New York. Next, we are going to Maine. Good morning, Barbara S.
Hey, good morning. This is Barbara.
Good morning. Thank you.
I am a compulsive overeater, food addict, multiply addicted, and a self-centered codependent. Thank you. This reading this morning, I was taught that I needed, before anything else, before my recovery could begin, I needed to relate to Bill's story. And I sure can relate now, although that wasn't true over several decades of relapse and dieting with group support. I'm now 4 months abstinent, and I would rather say 4 months into true recovery. The unlovely creature is what I was, though I am no longer in my cups. Thank you, generous and loving God. I was unlovely on so many levels. The first thing I think about being newly recovered is the physical unloveliness, you know, the discomfort. I won't get too graphic, but yeah. And and being suicidal because I was not, I just did not know how to succumb my will and to grasp this way of life that is just enormously miraculous for me so far. And more will be revealed. I'm going to pass with that. I do thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Barbara S. in Maine. So a couple of reminders before we take the next lineup. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And if you came in midway, we're on page 16 in Bill's story, and we're discussing the paragraph, An Alcoholic in His Cups, through to See Our Way of Life. So who would like to share? Please give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country you are calling from this morning.
Me, Larry G, would like to share.
Larry G, and then there was someone else with Larry.
Bruce E in Florida.
Thank you, Bruce.
Donna.
Katie M from Nebraska.
Okay, hold on. Donna and then someone from Alaska. Donna, could you give me your last initial and where you're calling from first?
B as in boy, Colorado.
Thank you. And who was the lady from Alaska?
It's Katie M from Nebraska.
Nebraska, thank you.
I heard they recorded close enough.
There you go. And anybody else like to join this group?
Vanessa G.
Thank you, Vanessa. And we'll stop there and see where we are. Okay, so I have Larry G, Bruce E.
Can I be
sorry?
Heard?
Yes.
Is this pre-recorded?
This is being recorded, yes.
I'm so sorry.
Okay. Larry G, Bruce E, Donna B, KTM, and Vanessa G. So could everybody other than Larry G in California please mute their line? And good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Susan. Larry G from California. Oh, my God, Wendy rocked it, just killed it. What a great share. I used to be very theatrical in OA meetings and would talk about that I was raised by wolves. And then one day I saw a documentary on wolves. And actually, they're a very complex, well-trained society. And so it would have been an upgrade if I had been raised by wolves. But I became this ravenous dog. I just related so much to the first share. I didn't care about you. I didn't care about anybody except the food that was in front of me. And I became all the things I despised in life. In the very last couple months, I wasn't bathing. I was wearing the same sweat outfit on the couch watching Polish, German, Russian international movies, and they don't end well. They're not like Hollywood. They always kill off the good people. Add more to my depression. Have a high water bungalow in an urban area in Sacramento, and I watch people walk by laughing, talking, and I would say that's going to be me tomorrow, and tomorrow will never come. All the things that I despise in life. I value hygiene. I have a nice wardrobe of clothes that fit me well. I have shoes that are polished, and I like going out to lunch with people and being a good lunch buddy and listening and talking and taking pausing between bites. And I love being productive. I'm a go-getter. I have an active life, and I get stuff done. And I became this person that I despised and didn't want to live. And I found this call, and things have changed for me. I'm no longer that person. But there's been some red flags lately. I have been resting on my laurels. And I could see them today because I am recovered. I am sober from alcoholic foods. My mind's not fogged up. And I decided that I was going to take a deep dive and surrender one more time and go through the steps again with a vision sponsor and work my tail off and my hair as if my hair is on fire, because I don't want to go back to that way of life. I would rather truly just do something to myself so that I didn't live, take another breath rather than give up one precious moment of this recovery. This one precious moment of recovery. This morning, I'm up, I'm exercising, I'm on this call. I haven't even thought about breakfast. I'll have be drinking some lemon water. I won't be putting anything full in my stomach probably till 9 o'clock. I mean, who does that? Not a compulsive eater like myself. This is God. God is working my life. God is the doer. I just do the action. Take
that's
the action.
Time, Larry.
Day. And with that, I will shut up and pass it back to you, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Bruce E. in Florida.
Hi, I'm Bruce E. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida. Grateful to be on the line. Grateful to be recovered today. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, moderator, and everyone else that's shared and everyone that's on the line. Well, yeah, I can relate to it, the reading. An alcoholic in his cups is unlovely creature. I was pretty unlovely, and my wife told me so. I didn't have to be telling myself every minute of the day, but my wife, in addition to that, I had my wife telling me that. So that, you know, I was really got me into a lower level of self-pity. But I would, you know, I ate out the bottom of the ice cream container, so nobody had noticed that, I thought. Stood in front of the TV, stand in front of the refrigerator and eat out of the containers. Oh, man, I'm not there today. Thank God for that. I got into the program and I got absolutely obsessed with reading the literature. And so I got a hold of that magenta colored, kind of a purple burgundy colored book, OA book. And I was reading it so intensely all the time, I thought maybe if while I was reading I wouldn't eat or something. And I read it so and worked that book so hard that I had a pen stuck in it wherever I was reading. I had a pen stuck in there. And I wore it out. I wore a big groove all through the center of the book reading it. And my wife then got on my case about that. You're reading that book all the time. What's wrong with you? You know? And I was obsessed with that. And that didn't get me sober either. That didn't get me abstinent. Just coming into vision and working through the steps in the big book, that's what got me recovered. So, yeah, and now that I look back on it, it is comic. I mean, it's tragic, you know, the way I ate and the things I did. But it's comic. I can laugh about it. guy committed suicide in his home. He could not or would not see our way of life. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a matter of seeing this way of life. You know, it's a whole different thing than the way I lived before, you know, obsessed with food.
That's time.
Now I'm not obsessed. Yeah, thank you. And I pass.
Thank you. Next up, we have Donna B. in Colorado.
Good morning. This is Donna B. in Denver, Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic. And, you know, we talk a lot about the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And I've heard that the allergy of the body is an abnormal reaction to our alcoholic food ingredients. And often what I hear is that abnormal reaction, instead of breaking out in a rash, is breaking out in a desire to eat more. Over the years in recovery, when I reflect on my behavior while I was in the food. I've come to see that my abnormal reaction to my alcoholic and food ingredients is much more complicated and much more devastating than, quote unquote, just breaking out in a desire to eat more. I believe that it causes me to break out in a desire to stop living. I've never had a plan to take my life. I've never attempted to take my life. But when I was living in the food, every day I woke up and wondered, can I really do this again? Do I really want to be here? When is this going to be over? So the food was impacting me beyond physically. It was suffocating my desire to live and to be present. And that is tragic. I had everything in life to live for. I think another abnormal reaction that I had to the food appeared as a misdiagnosed mental health condition. I do have a mental health condition, and thank God with recovery, I believe I have an appropriate diagnosis and appropriate treatment. But when I was in the food, the diagnosis was incorrect because it wasn't based on my authentic self. It was based on the creature that was unlovely and very sick in the food. My time is running out, but I just would like to close with saying that living in recovery and freedom from all of the manifestations of the allergy of the body is a miracle and is amazing. And with that, I'll
thank you, Donna. Thank you so much. Next, we go to Katie M. in Nebraska. Thank you, Katie. Star one to unmute. Katie M. in Nebraska, are you still with us?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thank you. Go ahead, please, okay. Katie.
Good morning, Katie, compulsive overeater from Nebraska. Thank you to everyone on the line for your service. The line that stuck out for me was a little different. What stuck out to me was the line that he could not or would not see our way of life. And to me, that points to my powerlessness, not just to convince other people that the 12-step way of life is the best way of life and it provides recovery from all types of addictions and is truly the path to healing for so many. But it points to my powerlessness to convince anyone of really anything. If people are committed to not seeing the truth, I am powerless to convince them otherwise. And for me, my disease comes in when I want to convince people that they're wrong and to get them to see something that they won't want to see. And this line about him committing suicide, that really just points to the seriousness of our disease and the seriousness of and the strength in which people hold on to falsehoods and the lies that the disease tells us. So, I am reminded to surrender the convincing to God, all of it. And thankfully, that's not my job today. And that's all I have to share. Thanks.
Thank you so much, KTM in Nebraska. Next, Vanessa G. in New Mexico. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, Susan, for taking the meeting. This is Vanessa G. I'm recovered in New Mexico. You know, this paragraph causes me some reflection, I guess, some sadness. I did have a friend who committed suicide. Because she could not or would not see our way of life. And sometimes I wonder, you know, how I escaped that. There were so many times when I was in the food that I really thought about doing that. It didn't necessarily reflect physically. Sometimes it did. You know, I've been a size 5 and a size 5X, and it didn't matter. You know, my inside was just unlovely. It was just so hopeless. And often I would think of ending it all. But I didn't, and I survived, and I came to see this way of life. I'm so grateful for that, and I try to comfort myself with the person that I've lost, and I know other compulsive overeaters who have not been able to find their way in. I try to comfort myself with the idea that they will find peace at some point. They will find, you know, communion with a higher power. But my way is here with you all. You all brought this to me, and I'm so grateful that I'm still alive and I'm still here. This is a very fatal disease, and this is one more warning in this book about how fatal it is. And the fatality is something that I don't ever want to take for granted. I'm saving my life, and you're saving my life, and hopefully I'm helping save yours. Thank you for letting me share this morning.
Thank you, Vanessa. We probably have time for two more people so that we have plenty of time for newcomer greeters and announcements. Who would like to share who hasn't shared in the last couple of days? Please star one to unmute. Sorry?
Justine from Tennessee.
Justine,
Justine,
got you. Thank you.
Jay.
Emily, thank you, Justine.
Emily L. from New Jersey.
Okay, great. And we will stop there and see where we are. Justine from Tennessee, please take it away. Thank you.
Hi, Justine, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. I really felt compelled to share because I'm coming back. I came in as new, and I was going, and I rested on my laurels hard, and it took me out really bad. And I almost gave up. My sponsor was like, you know, you don't have to give up. Like, this doesn't have to be it. And I'm really glad that she kind of didn't, you know, she motivated me at that moment because it's exactly what I needed to hear. At the age of 6, I was an unlovely creature. And I remember at last night I was listening to a speaker on the pitfalls of recovery, and it was so funny because I was like, this is me. She was talking about how she pretended that she was raped and like for attention, and she like had all these like issues just because of spiritual malady issues. And I was like, when I was 6, I pretended I couldn't walk. Like, I collapsed in front of my mother and pretended I couldn't move my legs, and my mom was so scared. But like, that's how many issues I had, my cups. And as a young child, my cups, I filled those cups with food. I was really heavy in middle school, obese, according to doctors. And so I had a lot of issues that eventually, you know, switched to this and that. But now I'm finally really conceded that this is an issue. Like, when I relapsed and on food, you know, of course, dropping the food on the floor, picking it up, even though it's underneath the cat food, and just like shoveling it in my mouth right away. I was like, this sucks. Like, I don't like this. I am spiritually unwell. And when I'm spiritually unwell, I am so unlovely. And it can switch at the drop of a hat. So I have to make sure that I'm like really rigorous about this program because I know it works. I've been sober in other areas of my life because I fill my cups with lots of different stuff. And I don't want to be that way. Like, I want to be free, and I want to be God-led, and I want to be recovered, like so many of you share. And I had that in the beginning of my journey with A Vision for You, and so easily I give it up. I just give it up. So I'm really here to stay this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Justine J. in Tennessee, and we are glad you are back with us. Next up, we have Emily L. in New Jersey. Good morning, Emily.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, because I'm actually sitting here in tears. I got so frustrated because nobody heard me. And I almost hung up this call because I couldn't get through. And then I realized I hit pound one instead of star one. And I think that that's a really good example of my life, of just getting enraged instead of looking at reality. I have relapsed really badly. And yesterday I had a conversation with my therapist about when I walked in front of a car when I was 12 years old. And that was more than 50 years ago. And how I never resolved the feelings. And then I woke up this morning and I was crying. And now I'm on this call and I'm crying. And I think that's good because I think my feelings are working their way up and through and out me so that I can stop using food to punish myself. I've lost my way. I've lost my purpose. But finding these meetings, I've been here. This is my third A Vision for You call. I did Zoom meetings, but they weren't working. This is different. And I just want to thank you. And I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have 1 minute left. First voice I hear will get the 1 minute. Go.
Amy W.
Go, Amy.
Good morning, fellows. Thank you, everybody, for service. In my other meeting this morning, we talked about this briefly. As we were talking about this, my cat is walking over my face, and I realized that everybody is happy that I'm working this program. Everybody doesn't mind the time I take away. Everybody helps me, my husband especially. But the only person that is not happy about me being in these meetings all the time and getting recovered is my cat. And I'm okay with that today. And I thank God for this program. Have a great day, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you so much. Okay, we're now going to close the meeting. I want to thank Team April. We had Wendy M, Vanessa G stood in today for Sherry Z. Thank you, Sherry, as well. Chanel T, Patty, and Alex, and Sherry M and Leslie M, all part of the team. So come back. And if you need a sponsor, please stay on the line. We will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Vanessa G. in New Mexico, will you please read A Vision for You for us? Thank you.
I will. Thank you, everyone, for an awesome meeting. I really appreciate it. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.